All right, before we start the podcast, shout out to Big Mike. Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today we are taking a look at Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is directed by Peyton Reed, who had done the first movie. The writers are Chris McKenna and Eric Summers. It stars Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, and Michael Douglas. And the synopsis is, as Scott Lang balances being both a superhero and a father, Hope Van Dyne and Dr. Hank Pym present an urgent mission that finds Ant-Man fighting alongside the Wasp to uncover secrets from their past. And Keith, what did you think of Ant-Man and the Wasp?
First, I said I was entertained by the film. Did not deliver the same laughs or didn't blow me away like the first Ant-Man movie did. And that's mostly because my expectations for the Ant-Man movie, the first one, were pretty low. But it completely surprised me. The technology worked, the effects all worked, and the gags all worked in the first movie. Second movie, the gags kind of played on the same thing they did the first time around, and they kind of fall into the same pitfalls that sequels do sometimes. It's Marvel, so they ended up doing, instead of a heist movie, they did just a long sequence of chase movies. Kind of ended with a hot potato snatch and grab, where this number of characters pop up, and they all have to get this one object, and it keeps bouncing around back and forth between the various characters. I thought the villain was weak. She showed real potential in the very beginning when she kind of popped in and she had a little pigtails in and presented this crazy girl vibe. Something's completely off about this chick vibe. And I thought they were going to go with that. Thought that would have been far more entertaining had she been in that light and everything. And her character would have been a lot more likable. What's that guy's name? It's on the tip of my tongue. Walter Goggins, I think it is.
Walton
Goggins. His character was actually a lot more fun than the main villain, Ghost.
He plays that role in almost every movie that he's been in. He's only been a good guy in a handful of roles. So he's on that Six show that comes on, I think it's History Channel, and he's a Navy SEAL in that one. So that's about it. Everything since The Shield, he's been playing a bad guy.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought the action was good. I thought the comedy worked in a lot of areas. I liked that they kept the focus on those characters, and I liked the theme that it was all about family, fatherhood. I thought the tie-in to the Infinity War was kind of misplaced, but it was interesting. But all in all, I enjoyed the film. It's another winner from Marvel. Not as good as the first one, but it definitely won points, especially with the action. I thought the action scenes were pretty decent. But the Wasp worked. She wasn't overbearing. She didn't maintain that whole, I'm pissed off at you, and Paul Rudd being a butt of her jokes. Drew back into that whole rekindling of their relationship, but falling for his charms, but while she maintained and was the actual badass of the little team. Michael Douglas, they all did a pretty good job. But in terms of Marvel, it won't be my top 10 Marvel movie, but Ant-Man wasn't my top 10 either, so it served its purpose. I liked it. I recommend going to see it, and I'll probably see it again because I like Ant-Man. I like the characters, and I'm glad to see him back.
So, Matt, what's your view on Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Just when you think Marvel was getting the villains right, providing depth and providing insight, then you get this flop of a villain. I thought they learned their lessons because initially the Marvel villains were just people. And then they eventually evolved, and then they got involved with other characters, and then they had depth, and you understood where they were coming from. And I had high hopes for this movie as far as that they learned from their past, because that's a known weakness with Marvel villains. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is everyone agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of the early movies were human beings that just wanted the technology. So Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, same thing. Captain America, a little different, but people want the super serum. And it really wasn't until Avengers 1 and maybe Winter Soldier where they had gotten that down, where the villain was actually pretty decent. All right, so I did not like this movie, and I think that it's worse than Doctor Strange to me.
What?
All right, so... Well, so first of all, it has a bland plot. There are no real stakes in the movie, and the stakes come in the form of the villain, who is the second worst Marvel villain next to the Dark Elf from Thor the Dark World. The villain is just evil so they can have a sympathetic ending. She's just unbelievably stupid and just angry for no reason. So there's points where another character says to her, hey, well, maybe there's another way. No, there is no other way. That is just poor writing. It's poor writing coming off the fact that Edgar Wright might have written some of the first movie. So that's how the first movie turned out to be at least somewhat better than the expectations for it. And this one is not very funny. It feels rushed in some spots and then overly long in others. So there's a whole long sequence of being at home and playing drums and stuff like that, but not a lot of important action. The de-aging, there's a part where Lawrence Fishburne has been de-aged. And sure enough, he looked like he was in his 30s or 40s. And then you also have Michael Douglas's version of it, and it still looks good. And Michelle Pfeiffer also gets that as well. So kudos to whatever CG house, the FX house is doing that stuff.
I think it's makeup.
If it is. Yeah, I want to say, I do remember them saying something about that. I am on the less than positive side of the movie. I didn't like the villain.
It looked like they were going to go another route with it, but kind of dumbed it down. If they'd have played up the whole, she's the crazy ex-girlfriend type of thing. She had some kind of mad infatuation with Paul Rudd's character or something. I don't know, something weird. Because like when she first popped in there without the suit, just acting all weird and stuff, I was like, whoa, who's this weirdo? And I thought that would have been a more entertaining.
The positive thing about her is that the effect looked cool. And that was really about it. And that's Nightcrawler from X-Men. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than... Yeah, other than her phasing and like her problem, there's really not anything important about her. And again, she's just unrealistically silly, written to be silly. And then you have like this weird balance where the movie is technically supposed to be a comedy. First movie was more or less a comedy with superhero action bits. And this one, you have T.I. and whoever the Russian guy is taking the backseat. So T.I. just says one line and cut. And they cut to somebody else. It was those Michael Pena's T.I.'s that helped shape the first movie. I mean, obviously Evangeline Lilly is supposed to have a bigger role as Ant-Man and the Wasp, but I don't even think that she was that good in the movie.
I thought she was awesome.
I think her acting was okay. I don't think the way that she was written is okay. Because this one note, it's like, well, I need to go save my mom. The approach to this movie maybe should not have come out. Whatever lead-in probably should have been just inserted into Avengers. And that would have been it. Because that's the only important part of the movie is the links that it has to Infinity War. So now we get to sit for about a couple months until Captain Marvel comes out, which I assume Disney has put enough money into that movie to make that movie great. So we will see. A lot of the Marvel movies have to be defined by the villains. And as I said, this villain is about as bad as the Dark Elf from Thor the Dark World.
Dark Elf.
I disagree.
Like, Barry, I really wasn't feeling her. I mean, she was just...
She was a wooden one-note villain that had no purpose being in this movie.
I think they missed the grand opportunity to incorporate her earlier. That way, when we saw Ant-Man, we were like, ah, that's who she is. That's the way I saw it. I was like, they missed the golden opportunity and would have made this villain from subpar to at least maybe average, maybe above average.
Mm. All right.
Yeah. I mean, it is a subpar villain. You can't really... say anything other than that. Let's say not subpar, but not a well-written villain compared to we just got Thanos. Thanos snapped his finger and people disappeared.
Anyone thinking anything else, hey, you know, this can be a great villain, severely disappointed.
Well, she just looked like a generic video game character. Like, this just came out of Killzone. I was talking to somebody earlier, said that she looked like a Metal Gear Solid villain.
She does.
And again, there's really nothing about her or her whole plan. How was this even going to work? What if it didn't work? So let's get the scores. And Keith, what score would you give Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Well, if I were to rate the original Ant-Man movie, I would have given it a 7.5. I give this one a 7, mainly because it kind of rehashed some of the gags from the first movie. I love the characters. They all did well. That scene when Ghost pops in, when Walton Goggins were interrogating the Michael Pena with the truth serum, I thought that whole little 10-minute gag was hilarious. Dude singing the Baba Yaga song. Shit, I thought that shit was funny as hell. So
that was a bright spot for at least some of the comedy.
It was goofiness like that and type of comedy that is what makes Ant-Man series work very well, because the side characters will steal the show. So I give it a 7. It's a solid film. They reused some gags and everything. Action was good. The Infinity War tie-in wasn't super strong and super obvious, but it was enough that it teased it. Pretty sure we'll see it pay off when the next Avengers movie comes out next year. So good show. Again, another win for Marvel.
All right, Matt.
Okay, I'd give it a 7.5. It does have some flaws. The villain is flawed. Didn't have the depth that it probably could have of the previous last couple MCU movies. But the one thing it does have for it, it does have the humor that you're kind of used to from the Ant-Man movie. In my opinion, I thought it was better than the first one. I would definitely watch it again. I don't think it was the worst MCU movie that has come out. There was well-placed humor in it. Although I do feel that Ant-Man was kind of more of a secondary character to the Wasp, and I think Wasp was more of the highlight, in my opinion. They wrote her in pretty well, especially with her action scenes. Overall, a solid movie. I didn't really have a high expectation as far as it tying into Infinity War. That's how come I don't feel that you should compare it to Infinity War, rather than, you know what, this is just a simple telling of what happened, of where Ant-Man was, because pretty much during Infinity War, everyone's like, where's Ant-Man? And this tells the whole story of where he was and how come he wasn't anywhere else, and told it perfectly. There are certain things that I felt they could have explained a little bit more, especially the ending. But overall, 7.5. Definitely not the worst movie, but I would definitely watch again.
All right. So you said you're not going to compare this to Infinity War. So we can't compare it to Thor: The Dark World. We can't compare it to Doctor Strange. We can't compare it to Iron Man 2 and 3. Is that possible? And Avengers 2, because those are kind of those bottom-of-the-barrel Marvel movies. And this one is right along
Thor
with that.
Thor 2 is terrible.
Thor 2 is one of the worst movies.
Dark Elf? How about Grey Elf?
I'm going to give this a 5. There's a lot of things that are just wrong with this movie.
A 5?
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that are just wrong with this movie. Just a lot of things. The writing is not as snappy as the first movie. The secondary characters aren't as funny. And as you said, Matt, Scott Lang is more or less a secondary character to this, even as far as lines. And then the next thing is that the action is not as good. And when you consider the first movie and that Thomas the Train sequence, That was probably the biggest action scene in that movie. What you get in this one is just riding through the streets of San Francisco and fake Godzilla sequence that somehow he's in the water and he just pops up and is Ant-Man. I don't think anything about that is interesting. Again, Walton Goggins typecasted. Need to stop doing all those bad guy roles. Evangeline Lilly, good actress, just poorly written in this movie. The plot for this is poorly written. The villain in this is poorly written. The villain in this is just generic because they have to have a villain in a Marvel movie. So this is the person that you picked. I mean, I'm not versed on Ant-Man and Wasp villains, but this is the person that you picked. This is the approach that you picked. This is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Why is this a long hour and a half, hour and 45 minute movie? Doesn't need to be that long, because they could have just put this in the beginning of the next movie and that would have been it. You would have had the whole setup. Again, I'm giving it a 5, mainly based off of the first movie, because the first movie is kind of like a 7.58 to me, because it had every opportunity to fail, but they delivered on it. Everything just felt tacked on. It's like, if you don't have that end credit sequence, this is not that great of a movie. Obviously, they're going to go in the time travel direction, which I think Mike has stated before for the next Avengers movie. I hope they do something awesome with it, because Peyton Reed maybe should not be back to direct the next movie for Ant-Man.
What?
Nor should these writers be back. And more than likely, it'll probably be Ghost and Ant-Man and the Wasp in that. Yeah, hey, that team up might be cool. But the actress that played Ghost, she was probably better in Ready Player One than she was in this movie. So that's the Beast Game Podcast.